I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny.
Fulfilling my own destiny. I'm sitting here dancing while I listen to this. Welcome to Purpose Talk Radio. This is Jan speaking on April 23rd, 2012. And as every Monday at this time, we offer you inspiration and the opportunity to connect with your soul for the next 55 minutes. Today, we invite you to join Barbara, me, and our guest, Jeff Brown, who's the author of the book, Soul Shaping, A Journey to Self-Realization. And we are so excited to hear, for only the second time so far, our new theme song called I Am Me by the musical group Trinity. I don't know about you, but I have been dancing all over the place the minute I heard it. So I hope you were dancing too. The True Trinity singing. Is, you was, I was singing too, but True Trinity is made up of Jillian Clark, who is the voice that you heard singing, Rachel Martinez-Vasquez, and Cindy Freeman, and they met in January of 2011 at the Posey Music Conference in Orlando, Florida, and they've combined their talents as musicians and songwriters since then as True Trinity. So if you like this song, you've only heard a little piece of it, obviously, but if you like it and you want to buy it, you can send them a Facebook message on their True Trinity page on Facebook, obviously. So we are so glad to have you join us here. And I'll let you know right off the bat, I started because Barbara's going to be one of our first speakers. And once she gets going, there's no stopping her. So I figured if I was going to get in, I better do it quick. So we are really glad you're here to join us today in this sacred space. And it's such a pleasure to come with to you live from England rather than Northern Germany and from Southern Oregon. And today, oh gosh, Jeff, I've forgotten where you're from. So where are you from?
I'm just outside of Toronto, Canada.
Well, that's great. I already had, and also from Toronto, Canada. So I would have been right on if I'd said that. Mm-hmm. Great. Well, welcome, everybody. Welcome to our show.
Thank you.
And today we're going to get Barbara to talk about a special event that she just went to. She spent the weekend at Stonehenge in England inside in a very special ceremony. So, Barbara, go for it. Tell us about your weekend.
It would have been great if I spent the whole weekend in the stone circle in Stonehenge. I'd be flying around the ether probably by now. Thank you. I'm only halfway back to Earth somehow because it's been a magical weekend. It started when I landed in the UK, when I arrived in Birmingham. When was that? Only last week. And I think it was on Wednesday. It's just time has totally, I've totally lost track of time and it has gotten a totally different meaning because it feels like I've just left my home and now I'm flying back home tomorrow. So it was just the whole trip was completely magical. And when we arrived there, we drove over the hill. For those people that are connected with us or want to connect with us, I've posted some pictures on Facebook in the virtual sanctuaries group already. We came over the hill at, 6:20 a.m. in the morning. And it was a beautiful morning, and there was blue sky, and the sun was just about to rise. And it was my first time at Stonehenge, so, lots of excitement.
And we weren't only...
That as well.
Yeah.
My birthday also.
Yeah.
And it was, we were meeting so many members of the soul family. And the whole point was that we were going there to witness a sacred pipe ceremony that my new brother, Jim Gray Wolf Petruzzi was performing. And that is a very special thing because Stonehenge in itself, they try to protect it, so you're not allowed to burn incense inside the stone circle, and you have to have special permission to do ceremony in there. You have to apply for group permission to go in there, and it all happened. And all of a sudden I was...
You're not allowed to burn incense in there?
No, you're not allowed to burn incense inside. You're not allowed to touch the stones. There's guards walking around the whole time. They look at everybody. They check that everybody behaves okay, so to speak. And yet, I didn't have to touch the stones. Once we were inside the circle, it was like, wow. The energy was building up while we were walking towards the circle. And when we were in, I cried. I cried so much that weekend. Yes. And it's all good.
Yes.
It's really all good. And it was so heart opening, heart widening more so, because, yes, I did go in there with an open heart, which anything else wouldn't have worked for me at all, I think. And the people that were there with us, yeah, we all felt very moved, very touched. And Jim's wife, Sue, she brought her a healing community drum hoop of many colors. And it's a 3-foot drum that makes an awesome sound. And I'm still looking for the words really to describe everything that happened, because it was, wonder, amazement was the word that kept coming to me over the past few weeks. And yeah, that's what happened. So Jim had to light his sacred pipe outside when we were starting to walk towards the circle. So he walked into the circle with the pipe already lit, which was unusual for the pipe ceremony. And it just worked. It worked as it always does when something sacred is happening. And then we were walking around while everybody was preparing, and we took a few pictures. And the community drum was unwrapped and put onto her stand and everything. And then all of a sudden it happened. We started the ceremony. Jim opened the prayer to the seven directions. And I can't even tell you what he said, because I was just so zoomed into the moment. I was so there. And now I'm not, obviously. And trying to remember it would be the brain. It's just, if everybody could look into my heart now, you could see the love that's there. And that's still there. And it moves me to tears once again, talking about it, because, it was very moving.
Barbara, that prayer that he said is on the sanctuary's page. And it's also, there was an event page that happened that she will put up. And we all, you would be amazed. There were hundreds and hundreds of people who were all saying that prayer at the same time. It was incredibly powerful.
I read through a bit of the stuff on the page already, and I was just, I could just put hearts in there, or smiles, or saying so, oh, or one amazement, because how can I express the gratitude that's inside of me? And I think Jeff has a lot to say about that as well, because, I mean, Jeff is so beautiful with words, and I really admire Jeff for the way I admire you, Jeff, for the way that you describe the indescribable. And that is exactly what happened over the whole weekend for me. Certain things that the brain tries to describe, they're just, it's not possible at the moment for me to do
right.
it. So I'm still processing, I'm absorbing, I'm digesting all that's happened there. And talking about it, I get red, burning ears, because I can feel the connection with everybody. And that in itself is beautiful, what has been created there and what will continue, that so many people connected at the same time all over the globe in such a sacred moment. And there were so many sacred moments over the whole weekend, just with the group of people that I was with. And there were so many other sacred moments happening around the world on this, during this weekend. And I personally think it's a great gift that I was able to be there in the sacred place in physical form. Yet I know what a great gift it is, and I can feel it still, because it makes my solar plexus go all wide, that everybody that was there with us in spirit and in their hearts, the power of that, and that just blows me away. That just truly blows me away, knowing that so many people connected from all over the world really with us. And it happened throughout the weekend that somebody came into my mind all of a sudden. And I knew you were all connected with us still. And it was Saturday already, but time is an illusion in itself sometimes, especially when something like this happens.
Right.
So after we left Stonehenge, we went, we had a beautiful morning with blue skies, no cloud, the sun was beaming down. We left the circle and the clouds started moving in. And that happened through the whole weekend. We had that through the weekend. Wherever we went and done something outside, it was beautiful. And then when we were finished, it started raining really badly. None of us could go wet. So thank you for that also.
Yeah.
After all, you know, so after we left Stonehenge, we went to Avebury. That's another sacred site close by. There you're allowed to touch the stones. You're allowed to walk around freely. It's a huge area. You can spend at least a day there walking around, connecting with the stones, connecting with the ancestors, with all that's there, all the energy, all the magic that's there. And we got the community drum out again and, had her on the ground and started drumming. And then somebody decided to lift up the drum. So while they lifted it up, they were still drumming on it. And there was this space under the drum. And I saw that and I nearly jumped for that opportunity to be underneath that drum. And I asked permission, can I go underneath? And Sue said, yeah, sure. So I just slid underneath the drum. I was lying on my back on the grass. And the drum beats were going right into my body, and it was just, whoa.
Wow.
What a birthday. What a birthday. It was just, it continued. It was the joy of the people that were drumming there, and we were, it was, indescribable. So walking in our hearts all day, and it continued through the whole weekend. Yes, I think it was Saturday, one of those days, I looked up into the sky while we were driving from one place to the next, and there was a heart in the clouds.
Oh, neat.
I mean, you know, yesterday when we drove back in a span of of 1 hour, Vicky and I, Vicky Licorice, where I'm at the moment, and I saw three rainbows and one double rainbow in the span of 1 hour.
Wow.
And we were looking for rainbows all weekend because the weather was indecisive about rain or sunshine, and we had dark clouds and everything. No rainbow all weekend that we saw, yet yesterday we saw three of them. And we had the most beautiful display in the sky. I mean, that was, you know, and we had quite a nice drive, 2.5 hours, 3 hours back. And I heard that, for example, one of my friends in Germany, she saw rainbows yesterday also, and she's sharing them on Facebook. So the synchronicity of it all just makes me so happy that I could giggle and smile all day, and I am in a way also, and I'm jumping around. It's this innocent childlike, not at the moment, I'm actually sitting down, but the innocent childlike knowledge and the trust, mm-hmm. the trust that all is truly well, that we're held in love. If we choose so, and if we decide to do that and to be, just being, that was one of the major things for me. I didn't have to do anything. It was enough to just be there and have my heart open. And, and then we had to slowly say goodbye to parts of the group. And then we went to a bison farm. We stayed in the forest on a campsite in a tent with, I don't know, 0 degrees. At night, Celsius. But it was beautiful. We had an amazing sky. We saw some shooting stars. We walked around a farm in the UK that has hundreds of bison. They have deer. They have alpaca. They have a certain kind of ostrich that is not called ostrich, but rhea, I think. Elk and deer. They have a little farmyard. Now Vicky's dog is coming in. Ben, come in.
No. Okay. So you don't have Patty with you today, so you have Vicky's dog instead, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right.
It was just amazing being in the countryside all weekend, being outdoors all weekend as a city girl. That doesn't really happen so often. And I so appreciated it. And I so appreciated being with this group of people where we were all walking softly and gently. And we all... we were a soul family, and we still are. And this connection that was created over this weekend is going to grow and to continue. So, I'm looking at the clock here, so my time is kind of up, I think.
That's all right. All right. Now you said that Vicky drew a card for you today. Do you want to talk about that, or did you draw a card for the show?
We sat down yesterday after we returned home, and we're trying to talk about everything that happened, which is quite difficult because it was so much. And yes, because we had a sacred pipe ceremony, Jim called in the white buffalo calf woman. It was a traditional Lakota pipe ceremony. So it's about totem animals. It's about power animals. And we met so many of them. While we were inside the stone circle, there were jackdaws flying around all over the place. They were building nests. They were chirping away. Then afterwards, at the bison farm yesterday, we really had buffalo. Like, that's buffalo, that's Tatanka, and
right.
the magic
right.
of that. The animals came and looked at us. They were curious
yeah.
about us humans, us two-leggeds, and we had crow. We had lots of crow medicine that full weekend. So we were sitting down last night talking about medicine cards, and I was just looking at all the cards, and there's so many, but the main thing for me at the moment is crow medicine. That is really strong, and it has been so strong. I've been living in Crow Village for the last almost 2 years now, which is just so amazing that I was aware, but only half aware of what I was living in, the energy and the power. And now it's time to move on. So, Crow medicine, what can I say? It's the gateway to the supernatural, and it's the crow is the keeper of all sacred law, which makes a lot of sense that we had jackdaws who are from the crow family inside the stone circle
right.
in Stonehenge, keeper of all sacred law. Crow is a shapeshifter also, and so much more. Crow sees simultaneously into the past, the present, and the future. So it's ever more important to be in the now and to be centered in the now and be heart and soul centered in the now. I don't know. It's still overwhelming in a really good way. A crow can bend physical laws to aid in creating the shape-shifted world of peace. And it's just, I'm sitting here, yeah, you know, nodding and grinning because it all so fits together. So out of the, I think, 12 cards I had last night, out of those 12 cards that have been guiding me over time and are guiding me at the moment, Crow is the one that's strongest for me personally.
Well, and that makes a lot of sense too, Barbara, that everything that you've said, and you're talking about to be, and which is the picture that you now have on your Facebook page, is the word be. And that seems to be really powerful for you and exactly what you're living.
Definitely. I've changed that, by the way, but don't tell anyone.
Oh, okay.
myself, no.
Okay, well, I'm looking on your the Skype page, and it's still on there, so that's all right.
Skype, yes, so, definitely.
Yeah. So the card I drew for today is one that I've had before. It amazes me that there are the table beside me is just absolutely strewn with cards to pick from. And I always close my eyes to see who needs what. What is it you want to say today, and what card is coming for the listeners of Purpose Talk Radio? And the card that came up is one that we've had before, which just blows me away. I mean, how can you do that out of all those cards? And I shuffle them, you know. But anyway, here it is. The card is called the Evening Star, and what it shows is a young man dressed kind of elegantly. And this is from ancient times. This is not modern elegance. And very colorful sleeves on his shirt. And he's standing kind of at the edge of a forest that is dark and looks like it might be winter time because there's no greenery there. And on the other side of this tree is kind of behind some clouds, behind some faded area, is a young woman with long blonde hair, so she's obviously the evening star. But what this card, every single time it comes up, in every circumstance that I've had so far, it means new beginnings. And to me, that's absolutely awesome because there's so much going on in your life and in my life. We've started the new Positive Conversations group where people are doing things that are new beginnings. So if you're in a place in your life where you're stuck, where things aren't moving, where you just are kind of confused and you don't know what to do, it is the time of new beginnings. So it's a time to look around and connect with other people so that you have support in your new beginnings. So we're going to move on and finally be able to introduce our guest, Jeff. Jeff Brown. He is a former lawyer and found a more heartfelt path. He is a tireless advocate for the disenfranchised soul. He's a spiritual warrior on the sacred battlefield, an overcover agent for the divine. And although only semi-conscious, he is clear to his soul's mission, which is to bring the book Soul Shaping to anyone who might benefit from it, to be an unmasked crusader for the authentic path, to help others to get off the false path and actualize their callings without shame or fear obstructing the way, and to help others to invite their little voice inside out of hiding, that beautiful voice that knows who we really are and that nudges us towards the path we most need to walk to feel soul satisfaction in this lifetime. And as Jeff says, why go to our deathbeds to wake up when we can do it now, step by step, one breath at a time? That is so awesome, Jeff.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, it is.
Wow. That's so cool. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, hi, Barbara.
Did you understand any of what I said?
Nice to be with you. Huh?
Yeah.
Did you understand any of what I said?
Everything. I understood everything.
Oh, good.
I can feel you. Absolutely.
Oh, cool.
Well, Jeff, tell us a little bit about you, just a little bit, but then I want to hear about your book.
About me. Wow. It's so odd when you've written a book about you. I don't really know where to begin.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, soul shaping is my journey, you know, and really my journey from the path, the kind of the archetypal warrior path, the call to criminal trial law, and all the ways that reflected my, I guess, my primary consciousness to another path that lived inside of me, and that really a path that reflected something more surrendered or more benevolent. You know, I think of the culture and I think of myself as having, making this shift from survivalism as a way of defining the self in the direction of authenticity as our orienting principle. And that's really been what my journey's been about. And not that criminal trial law was inauthentic, but it really had its roots for me, I think, on a cellular level in some past life kind of lineage, like some karmic lineage around warrior adaptation. And but this lifetime, it's like my call is, it was subtle at first and then got quite noisy when I was about to start practicing law, because I think I knew on the deeper level that I'd be lost in that forever, because I quite loved trial law. My movement is really in the direction of a more subtle, you know, it's almost like I shifted from an emphasis on the presumption of innocence, which is fundamental in trial law, to the presumption of essence, you know. And so in a way, they're not entirely different, but they are so radically different in my, in my inner world. Yeah. Yeah.
So tell us a little bit more about the book and about your journey in there to where you are now.
Yeah, the book just takes you really through. It's like an autobiography, really. I started my early life, kind of this tumultuous, crazy family, and hearing this call to trial law. I used to see this guy, Eddie Greenspan, on television when I was an adolescent in Canada. He was a famous criminal lawyer here. He was like the Clarence Darrow of Canadian trial law. And I used to say, I'm going to work with that guy one day, you know. And nobody took it very seriously, and I'm not sure I entirely took it seriously. But as things unfolded, I did end up working with him in my 20s and articled with him in trial law. So the book really focuses on that in the beginning, this like inner conflict between these two parts of myself, the warrior self, the consciousness that I identified myself as, and this voice that I named Little Missy, the little voice that knows, this part of me that would inform me that I was walking in the wrong direction with what I call in the book truth aches, you know, like little, little agitations, and ultimately a spiritual emergency when I was about to sign on the dotted line and become a trial lawyer. And then, you know, I step back from trial law, and the book kind of talks about what I then did, which was really to learn how to live in the question and befriend confusion and sit in this, let all this old pain come up and through me that I had been really super capable of capping with my warrior consciousness. And then to, you know, once enough stuff had cleared out of me, I began to get glimmers of path, like, you know, like whatever sacred purpose was started to show itself. And then I really had to struggle with the courage and the willingness and overcoming the inner shame stuff and the societal judgment stuff to allow myself to trust this little voice, to trust that this little voice held some template of possibility for my life that wasn't part of my habitual or habituated consciousness. And really that was my journey, you know, going through the stages and then jumping into adventuring into what I call depth charges in the book, having experiences to inform me, to give me information as to what direction to walk in. And ultimately, after a number of those adventures that are presented in the book, the call to write Soul Shaping just became so vivid, clear, and unstoppable in 2001, just before 9/11, actually, at Harbin Hot Springs in California.
Wow.
And then I came home and just let myself get saturated in it, but of course not completely, because there was still resistance and there was still the shaming voice about my creative voice. And, you know, so I went through a whole lot of stages, even in the heart of writing that book, to fully understand what had happened to me and to fully embody this sacred purpose. I define sacred purpose in Soul Shaping as soul scriptures, you know, that combination of callings, key lessons, archetypal transformations, primary relevant relationships with key members of the soul pod, all the sort of the grist for the mill, the stuff, the real sticky stuff that we're here to live through, embody, and grow through. And, you know, if I hadn't walked in the direction of soul shaping at that time, I probably would have gotten ill or there would have been some other symptom that I'd, mm-hmm. you know, neglected the call. And mm-hmm. for whatever reason, right. I was able to honor it. Yeah.
So wait a minute. What is this about soul pod? I know there are going to be listeners who don't know about that. So tell us a little bit.
Yeah, I have a lot of terms. I have a little soul shaping dictionary in the back of the book and also on my thesoulshaping.com website. And I'll read this soul pod because this has been so important in my journey and I know in the journey of people around me. The soul pod is that person or group of people whom our soul finds the most resonance with at any given moment. It can include anyone that appears on our path to inform and catalyze our expansion, our biological family, significant figures, strangers with a lesson. I call them people of soul significance. And it changes, you know. So who was the soul pod in the early days is not really the soul pod any longer. As, you know, you begin to delineate and demarcate and really clarify your sacred purpose, then people of resonance change. People fall away. Friends fall away on the path, and new people appear. And that's certainly what's happened to me. Yeah.
So is there pain with people falling away?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, sometimes there's joy, and sometimes there's pain, and sometimes, you know, there's both. With family members, it's obviously really complicated, you know. But, you know, I think we have to accept this as shedding a skin. It's just the nature of the soul-shaping process, the journey of self-creation, is to keep expanding into the next place on your path of purpose. And pain always comes with it. You know, so many of the lessons that accompany us on the journey are pain-centered. You know, we have to dive deep into the pain body to transform our consciousness. And for some reason, I seem to just accept that as part of it. You know, I don't have a view of this spiritual journey as a bliss trip by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, I think as we walk more, get more aligned with purpose, we feel more at peace in our own skin. But it doesn't mean that we don't suffer, and it doesn't mean that we don't have mm-hmm. to go through hardships to continue to transform and shape our souls to the next stage on its movement towards wholeness. It's just part of the path.
Right. I have a bunch more questions for you, but Barbara really wants to ask you something.
Yeah.
Yes, please. So because you wrote the book, Jeff, you didn't get ill. So you just dove into that whole experience. And I love the way that you've created this dictionary for the soul also. And you've now become a university professor too.
A self-appointed university professor with tenure,
yeah.
But no money. Absolutely. yeah, I mean, I have wanted to have like a little soul-shaping university, and I'm just so busy finishing this film I'm doing called Carmageddon that I haven't been able to get to the next course. But my first course is on my website. It's Finding Sacred Purpose. And I'm working on an Apologies to the Divine Feminine course, and a number of other courses will come after that. I'd like to have eventually 20 or 30 courses on a website, soul-shaping.com, for download. Yeah, I love
so we
that.
Have
it's
to ask,
really good. Yeah.
Do we have to call you Professor Jeff now?
No, don't, please. No. That would just terrify me. You know, I would lose that humble thing that somehow channels the language. You know.
Yeah, you're right. You are right. That is true. Yeah.
It really does. What you know, it's so. I'm writing again, and it's so interesting. No matter what happens, and energy, people supporting my work, and I love it all, and it really keeps me going. You know, but at the same time, when I get back in the room and back to the computer, and I'm alone in that isolation chamber of writing, and you know, all of that stuff just, you know, so much of that stuff, if I take myself too seriously, completely obstructs the creative process. Like, the creative process, the connection to the Divine Mother in terms of channeling language, finding expression, really has just like no connection to that unhealthy part of the ego that takes itself too seriously or buys into its press clippings or any of that. It's just like right back to that exact same state. And I almost have to strip myself bare of that part of me that feels so accomplished or becoming to feel more accomplished in my life because the channel comes through my body when my body's completely open and essentially egoless. It's so interesting, you know.
You used the word warrior before, and to me, and I don't
what
know if this
word?
Is to
Sorry?
You, so that's why warrior.
Yeah.
You used the word warrior before, and to me, warrior is somebody who trains and learns and is capable and strong and takes action and doesn't necessarily listen to that small voice within.
Right.
Now, and what you're saying now is that when the warrior shows up, that you really need to step aside from the warrior and go into a softer or what?
Well, I think it's changed now. You know, I think at first what happened because I was such a little battler in my childhood, you know, with my mother. You know, I lived in a crazy house, and really the way that I responded to that was to just fight, constantly fight and move my energy. And there was clearly some karmic carryover, like I just was born like that. And, you know, and so what happened is when I started to hear this voice, Little Missy, the little voice that knows all of that, and what happened is I kind of started to diss the warrior. You know, it was like I had to distinguish myself from that familiar path. It's like you have to get away from those bad friends so you can establish a new way of being. It was like that. And so I was like in this delusion in a way that the warrior wasn't with me anymore. Even when I wrote Soul Shaping, it was like, oh, that he's gone now. And of course, now I understand it, you know, so because what happened is then that more receptive or benevolent path took form in me and demanded expression and got expressed. And once that groove was established, from that perspective, that plateau, I was able to recognize that, of course, the warrior was with me all the way. The warrior, I mean, helped to write the book. I mean, you can't push through all these obstacles without that in this crazy world. But what had happened is they had merged more. They were almost indistinguishable from each other most of the time because the warrior had now become benevolently intended. You know, he wasn't just selfish. He was really trying to take, and I am still trying to take all of this assertive energy that I have and move from a more soulful source spring in terms of how and why I manifest it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So he's here, but he's just softened, right?
Yeah. I, for myself, I found that, you know, I didn't call it a warrior, but we talk about ego, and there was a time when they talked, the recommendation was that you slay the ego, that you kill the ego, and in order to become an enlightened human being.
Yeah.
And nobody likes to be killed. I mean, they're going to fight it no matter what. They're going to do what they can to defend.
Right. And you kill the ego, you kill the self, right? I mean, you know.
Exactly.
What ego are we talking about? The healthy ego that we need to manage reality? I don't actually make any distinction between my soul and my healthy ego. I don't really even understand this languaging. You know, there's a lot of people that dismiss the ego, the pain body, personal identifications, the emotional body, and, you know, call that something called non-duality. Of course, how ridiculous is that to have a non-dual field that removes everything uncomfortable from the equation? You know, to me, those places that are removed are actually the grist for the mill for my transformation. I grow through my ego and my relationship to it. I grow through my pain body. That's the karmic feel for my soul's expansion. So all of that doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, I finally decided that if I could make the ego, or make, if I could invite my ego to be my ally so that when I was working on my soul development, that my ally would be there helping me and keep me from getting distracted into some of these other distractions, obviously, that would be a helpful thing. And I found that was really powerful for me.
That's beautiful. I mean, you know, it's like the whole Western psychology movement, so much of it was based on the idea that we were trying to bolster the self-concept, you know, build a healthy ego, you know, not feel like such shamed, small, tiny beings with no impact. And then this some portion of the spiritual movement comes in and starts talking about the dissipation of the self, the eradication of the self, that the self is the problem, that there's a thing called oneness that exists independent of the self. Now, how confusing is this for people on the spiritual path, you know? So for me, the quest is, I use the term Western consciousness now in the dictionary, to try to bring together, and it's complicated, the quest, say, for essence that's fundamental or unity consciousness, with the quest for a healthy self-concept. I mean, how do you write a book like Soul Shaping? How do I do this radio show with you if I don't value myself enough to believe I have something to offer, you know? So and at the same time, I don't want to move through the world feeling like I'm all that or I'm the only one with a message to offer. And so you balance it out with an awareness of the fact that you're connected to humanity and you're only one being and one little speck of dust in the heart of it and all of that. And I think to me the healthy spirituality is that point, it's a very subtle sacred balance between these two awarenesses, right?
Yeah,
what I, just with the medicine cards that I've been working with over the past few hours, really, somewhere in there it said true ego. And that is, I think that is a very interesting term. Ego is what you call the healthy ego. And it's different terminology, but we're all talking about the essence here. And that is what's so beautiful, because working with language in a positive way and looking at it from a different perspective makes such a big difference.
And
that's something that you're perfecting. I'm a total groupie of the quotes that you put up on Facebook, Jeff, because I love them. Because the way that you have found to play in a good and respectful and loving way with words is absolutely beautiful.
Oh, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I like that you're a total groupie there, Barbara.
Not a partial groupie, like a total groupie.
A total groupie.
Yeah, I've discovered that I have a lot of groupie potential.
Jeff, you said you were working on a film. What was the film?
Yeah, we're just finished the film I've been making for the last 7 years. It's called Karmageddon, and it's about
Karmageddon. Okay.
Yeah, and it's about my connection to a well-known spiritual teacher and guru and chanter named Bhagavan Das. He was the guy in the book Be Here Now that brought Richard Alpert or Ram Dass to the feet of Neem Karoli Baba. And so that film's pretty much done, and you know, it includes some interviews I did with Ram Dass and Sean Korn and David Premel and Matan Robert Gaswal, all kinds of people. And it's a pretty powerful film. It's about all I can say about it right now, but it's a pretty special, powerful film.
Is it going to be in the cinema or on DVD? Or
It'll be everywhere like that. Yeah, we're working at all kinds of things. But the website, KarmageddonTheMovie.com, should be up in 2 or 3 weeks, I think.
Cool. That's cool.
Yeah.
Thank you. I like the title.
Karmageddon. Yeah. A little unforgettable. I know.
Yeah, it's just,
I like the title, too. I'm a groupie of the movie, actually. I'm also in the movie. But no, I really am. I've grown to love this film, and took a lot of time to find the film exactly, but I think we've really found it. And we'll see, you know, how the world responds to it. It'll be very interesting.
Well, 7 years is a good time. It's another sacred number, isn't it?
Yeah, it was a labor of hate for 7 years. No, it was. But now we really like it.
I am so relieved to hear that.
Yeah. Yeah, you wouldn't want to work like that for 7 years with your best buddy sitting at this little computer screen like two morons that have never made a film trying to figure out what they're doing. And at the end of it, like, hate it. You know, it's nice to get somewhere.
Yes. Yeah.
But that's how Titanic started out.
Huh?
That's how Titanic started out. On the plane coming over to the UK, I read an article because now they're showing Titanic in 3D, and they've been interviewing the man that directed the whole thing, and I can't even remember his name. I'm sorry for all the people.
It's a humble fellow that won the Oscar. think.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And they were, he was telling about when the film was first made that everybody was slagging them off and it was just going to be so bad and they'd be losing so much money on it because it cost the world in dollars and with the music and everything else. And then, I mean, they hated it because they got so much hatred and everybody was on magazines and titles and everything else. So what you're doing is kind of like similar. You're going the back door, into the back door, with your own emotions coming through all this work to make this film. I mean, it can only be beautiful, can't it, really?
It can't all be, no. I mean, this was a journey movie, you know, and Soul Shaping was a journey book. You know, it's a lot easier for me to write an objective book about my theories and philosophies because I don't get personally engaged by it, but my calling seems to be, and perhaps it's because I'm a masochistic body structure, they tell me in body psychology, I just have to keep writing journey stuff. You know, I'm going to write a higher consciousness love story. I've already started it, which is like based on the love section or chapter in Soul Shaping, based on an experience that I have. And, you know, I just keep coming back to wanting to give birth to stuff that comes through my own transformational process. You know,
that's pretty funny because I'm just launching the a certified practitioner course called Soul Body Blueprint, which is reading the body. It's body psychology, and it's how soul has imprinted messages into our bodies to give us a roadmap of lessons we want to learn in this lifetime and even ways that we choose to learn them. So I'm going to have to get together with you and read your body. That's all there is to it.
Fantastic. I mean, I can send you a report on what bioenergetics founder Alexander Lowen said. He read my body, and he was bang on. Now, he didn't really link it to the soul, but because I don't make a distinction between the emotional body, the physical body, the way the emotional bodies manifest, and the soulular body, it's really all the same thing, you know. Wherever he saw in my body the holdings and the unresolved material and the unreleased material was really stuff that lived at the heart of my spiritual transformation. I matured in my spirituality to the extent that I could work through the material that was held in the body temple.
Right. And yeah, that's what it's all about, is that your body is, the very structure of your body shows, it's basically the personification of your soul and some of the things that your soul wants to accomplish in this lifetime, whether it's just, and it doesn't have to be any huge purpose.
No, it doesn't.
It's just your purpose, whatever that is, which is pretty exciting. Yeah.
Beautiful.
No, I don't want to hear what he has to say about you. I'd have to read it for myself, and then you can compare the two. How's
that? Well, I'll send you my body.
That would be an interesting thing. I'll send you my body. That's cool. How does that work, Jeff?
Well, I think by express post, everything seems to get somewhere in 3 days.
So. Cool.
Only
but send it back. But you got to send it back. I got work to do.
Right. See if you can fit it in one of those flat rate boxes.
Let's hope so. You know, letter mail. Right. No, I've been eating a lot of donuts. I don't think I'm going to get into a letter mail package.
Right.
But that's another story for another day.
Yeah. Yeah. What's this about? Oh, no, I said I wouldn't ask, but I said other people could. So I'm going to ask anyway. What's this deal about going to jail for your love of your penchant for donuts?
I don't remember. Some goofy post.
That's because you said you weren't.
You know, I think because I find this work so serious, I'm finding my goofy self is starting to become more prevalent lately, and it's starting to get. I got to be careful. It's starting to get reflected in posts that get reflected back to me on radio.
Uh-huh, see what happens.
Universal law, really, isn't it?
So, Jack, what is it? We have a little bit of time left here. What questions have we not asked you that you would just absolutely love to tell everybody about or talk about today?
Well, I'm actually kind of interested in asking you something, you know, because this is it's a purpose radio show. I'm interested in inviting even a quick dialogue on how you understand purpose. You know, what is that? Where does it come from? Do we come in at birth with this encoded purpose? Is it something we stumble upon? Is it, you know, what do you mean when you use the term purpose?
Barbara?
Can I start?
Please.
And Jeff, that just came together really beautifully, because you've been starting about talking about purpose, and I think you and me, we have very similar views on that, or maybe just the same, because we're, after all, we're one. But I don't think I can send my body over in 3 days through mail, express mail. I don't think that works for me. purpose, I think it is something that is ingrained in our hearts. And I believe that. It's not I think with my heart. So, yes, I can say I think. It's ingrained in my heart. I can say it for me personally. And it's my choice, my conscious choice, when I start waking up or when I am up, out of bed, dressed and showered and bright and shiny, that I make the decision to remember my purpose. Yeah, that's the way I look at it.
Got it. Nice.
And for me, it's a little bit different than that, because my conclusion over the years in developing this technique is that our soul, each one of us, our soul has put these messages into our bodies to remind us of the purpose, of our soul's purpose for being here this lifetime. And again, it doesn't have to be some huge thing, but it is our purpose. In reading Conversations with God by Neil Donald Walsh, there was a passage in there where he asked God, what is our purpose in life? And basically, to paraphrase it completely, God's answer was, there is no purpose. And I thought, wow, that could be depressing. And then I continued to read on. And one of the things that came out was, our purpose is to simply experience the experience. That's it. So whether the experience is good or bad is irrelevant. It's just to fully experience that experience. And if it's something that we don't like, to remember that we chose the experience, and then we can bring love to it, and it changes that experience, or it morphs it into something else. But back to soul giving us these messages, or our purpose for being here, every one of us has a different purpose, has our own purpose for being here, what our soul wants to experience in this lifetime. And what are we going to do with it, and how are we going to progress from there? So when Barbara and I were talking about the radio show, we were talking about, what is our purpose here? Jeff, what is your purpose here? And Barbara, what is your purpose here? And somebody else over there, what is your purpose here? And what is your purpose? What do you have in mind? Why are you even bothering to be here?
Yeah, there's so many ways of understanding the meaning of this existence, and I really just rely on my body of experience. You know, I mm-hmm. would see Eddie Greenspan on television when I was 13. He felt completely familiar to me, felt like I knew that trial lawyer, I knew where he was emanating from, like I was supposed to know him. I said, I'm going to work with him, and then I knew him. I've had so many experiences. Al Lowen, I saw Ram Dass in Toronto. He came here after the stroke to do a presentation of Fierce Grace, and I felt like, I know him. I'm going to know mm-hmm. him. And, you know, and then he's in the film, and I, you know, it's like I had the same thing with Bhagavan Dass in 98. I saw him at Harvard Hot Springs, and it was like, God, that guy feels familiar to me. It's like, oh, I know this guy. And, of course, I'm making a film about him now. And so for me, my experiences have fed back to me this information that, in fact, something's been encoded, you know? You know, deja vu
right.
for me, it started to
right.
deja vu, I started to believe, there's a lot of cognitive psychology on it, but it seemed really clear to me that when I walked into a deja vu, it meant that I was exactly where I was supposed to be in this pre-encoded path. It was like, okay, this was living inside of me, and here we are, I'm where I'm supposed to be, you know? So the more deja vus I have, the more I feel like it's a feedback to me that I'm where I'm supposed to be in my march, you know, towards wholeness. And, you know, so my experience has taught me one time after another, abandonment issues, unresolved material, living deep in my bones, deeper than my childhood trauma would suggest it should be, and
right.
that clearly that's a piece I'm here to work through. And I just keep getting feedback from my body of experience, emotional and physical body, indistinguishable from each other, and that there is a path, an actual literal path, what James Hillman called the innate image, encoded inside of me, a vision of possibility for who I could become in this lifetime if I can excavate it, if I can move the overstimulating nature of the culture out of the way, if I can live it, embody it, if I have the courage to face it and to become it. And so for me, I only know for me that that's what that purpose lives in me. And that when I honor the voice to write, I feel completely whole, connected, like a buffer against the madness of the world, you know, infused with a kind of energy like the Divine Mother is living inside of me or something. That tells me that's intrinsic to my purpose. And when I feel frustrated and annoyed and depressed and like I'm off path, it tells me that I'm off path, off purpose, disconnected, alienated from the source spring that lives within me, you know. And that's it. You know, and my work really is to encourage people to create the terms and conditions where they can clear out the debris and get enough clarity as to what lives inside of them and explore it to get more information about the path of purpose. Because I think if we're all living our purpose, the world is a much more loving, satisfying, you know, illuminating and energizing place to be. Mm-hmm. To me, it's the answer, you know.
Yeah, what I love, Jeff, is part of why I became a groupie of you is because of the way that you describe your writing process, the writing on the wall. And when I read that from you, I was like, oh, I really want to do that. I have this huge wall in my room, and I'd really love to go over and just write on the wall. That because you find with the language that you are creating and using, you find such brilliant visuals. For me personally, I can only say, but I'm sure there's many others that are following you that love this also. So the one question I have is, the people in the soul pod, what do you call them?
I call them the people in the soul pod.
Thank you. Thank you. That was a straight out answer.
Yes. You know, soul shapers or something. I mean, there's all kinds of kitschy terms, but just waves of resonance. Just waves of resonance. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's really what it is. And in terms of wall writing, you know, to me, wall writing, it's obviously just a metaphor. You know, I have the video on YouTube, and I watch that video to call me back to center when I feel off center. And really what that's about is encouraging people to let go of some externalized idea of identification and to really just find and follow the tether to their own distinct voice and to know that at the end of that, they will find their way home. And that's so important in a shaming world, in a world where we give so much credibility is externalized in terms of the voice of other, to really understand that inner voice knows more about your path. You are the sculptor of your own reality, right? Don't hand your tools to anyone else. And that's what that wall experience was for me. It was like a breaking away from a socially defined construct or idea of what was acceptable behavior and just allowing my voice to take over, you know. Then I started writing on my yoga mat, writing on my yoga block during class. Mm-hmm. I used to write on my arms and hands. I didn't care. I just couldn't stop writing stuff. And, you know, I think everybody, whatever their purpose is, has some form of expression that wants to happen that's getting blocked by some socially defined idea of acceptability. And we really got to encourage people to push past that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jeff, we're coming to the end of the show, so how can people get in touch with you, either with their inner voice or their outer voice?
You know, soulshaping.com is my site. They can join the email list. And, on Facebook, I have a Jeff Brown support page, also called a fan page. They can subscribe to my personal page, and I also have a Soul Shaping group, Open Heart Gang fan page, and internationally, You're the Woman group on Facebook. So there's lots of places to find me.
Would you do us a favor and go on when we're done here with the program and go to the Purpose Talk Radio Facebook page and post those links to those different pages?
I will. Although I'll probably just post a link to the website because all the links are actually on the website. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
And I believe we've included those on our purposetalkradio.com, but just so people can find it who didn't go to that website would be great.
Great. Okay. Happy to do that. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you for being with us, Jeff. That was another beautiful birthday present for me.
Happy birthday.
I'm so blessed. Thank you, Jeff.
You got it.
And hopefully we'll talk to you again soon. Good luck with the film that's now turning into a love film. And let us know more about the Soul Shaping University and how that goes on, Professor.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Professor Jeff. Yeah. Right. We didn't come up with an affirmation of today, so I'm going to suggest that we use new beginnings and say, I allow myself to participate in new beginnings. And now we're going to have to start closing this program. So once again, remind you that you can hear more about our song, our opening and closing song, through the Facebook page for True Trinity. And you can also connect with Barbara and me. We can do it on, we do joint coaching programs together. And also you can connect with us on our various websites, barbarapatterson.info and janrivel.com. And we have had a wonderful day today with Jeff and hearing Barbara's story. And I even got to say a few things. So so we're going to send you soul greetings now, and we look forward to sharing with you again next week. And our guest next week is Virginia Drake, the Horse Whisperer.
Woohoo! I'd love to say thank you to Creator and Spirit and to our power animal that was with us in the show, Coyote. Thank you so much. Talk
yes,
to you soon.
Thank
Take
you.
Care.
I am me, I am who I am, I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me, I am who I am, I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny.